It's Monday morning. I'm Dean Rothbart. When the product is you and your reputation, there may be no better qualified expert in the country than this week's guest, Davia Timmon. Davia is an advisor to Fortune 500 CEOs, boards of directors, hugely successful entrepreneurs and authors, professional services firms, politicians, and influential nonprofits. Her Manhattan-based firm, Timmon & Company, is widely recognized for its skills at fostering thought leadership. That's marketing through ideas, information, and insight. Davia herself is a shining example of a thought leader, writing, speaking, teaching, and coaching. As for crisis management, when you or your company find yourself thrust into a public controversy or an embarrassing circumstance, there is no more talented and effective ally to have on your side than Davia Timmon.
When something bad happens, the first thing that organizations and individuals do is say, this can't be happening. And if it's happening, it's not really happening to me. And if it's happening to me, you know, it's really not that bad. And if it's sort of that bad, well, nobody will notice.
This is Roy H. Williams, founder of Roy H. Williams Marketing and co-founder, along with my wife Penny, of the Nonprofit Wizard Academy. The Academy draws successful business owners and executives from around the world. You're listening to Monday Morning Radio, featuring interviews with unconventional men and women who are putting into practice the profitable lessons we teach at Wizard Academy. Monday Morning Radio is produced by Dean Rothbart, who co-hosts the popular Business Unconventional radio news magazine.
Davia, it's a special pleasure to have you with us.
Dean, thank you so much. I am blushing if you could see me, but I appreciate it, and I'm delighted to be here today.
Well, well deserved. Let me tell our listeners in the New York area to give them a special shout out. I want to mention the fact that Davia will be honored on April 29th at the annual gala dinner of the Girl Scouts of Greater New York, where she'll be presented with its highest honor, the Pinnacle in Leadership Award. Girl Scouts bestows the award on an individual who's a role model for women and girls in Girl Scouting, business, and the greater community. Congratulations, Davia.
Thank you. It's a meaningful honor. Thank you very much.
It is. The other thing that is pure coincidence is we are recording this. We record our Monday Morning Radio in advance on March 12th. March 12th commemorates National Girl Scout Day. This is the day in 1912 when the first 18 girls were registered in the Girl Scout organization in Savannah, Georgia. So that seems to be kismet. It's perfect timing.
It is perfect timing because Girl Scouts has been that involved for that long in helping create girls of courage, confidence, and character to help make the world a better place.
Well, perfect. I do hope people who listen and are in and around New York will think of and support the mission of Girl Scouts, will attend and have a chance to meet you in person. I want to talk about what Timmon and Company does. You basically specialize in turning the intellectual capital of your clients into thought leadership. And by doing so, you create, you enhance, you save reputation. So I want to begin there. Let's talk about this, Davia. Where and how does somebody who has not previously considered herself or himself to be a thought leader begin?
Well, you know, we all, as we go along, Dean, in our careers, learn stuff. If we keep our eyes open and our senses and wits about us, we become wiser. With every passing day, with every passing week. It's a good goal to have. We learn about the business community. We learn about managing people. We learn about our area of specialty, and we learn about ourselves and how you become a better and better leader. So we all know, I would submit to you, more than we think we know about what we do for a living. So, you know, there's so many people out there. We talk about branding and we talk about ads. You know, I sometimes think that we've gone branding amok, that we're all trying to brand ourselves just too much, and there's too much puffery out there. If I hear one more person call themselves a guru.
I'm glad I didn't use that in introducing you.
No, you can call somebody else a guru. No worry about that. You just can't call yourself it. Right?
Yeah.
Because something that someone else has to dub you with, you can't say it yourself. So there's a lot of sort of puffery going on. But the real stuff that we really know, in fact, I would say, is more resonant, more authentic, and can get more people to actually want to know you, hear you, meet you, and hire you than all the gobbledygook around there. So that's what thought leadership is. It's a way of capturing what you believe and know to be true, putting it in a way that speaks to what people are interested in, and add some value or some bandwidth to what they already know. By doing that, positions you as an expert that people want to consult.
I know, certainly not to the degree that you do, but I know, and periodically somebody who works for a Fortune 500 company knocks at my door and asks me to share my insights with them or with their CEO.
Sure.
And what I have discovered is that there are some very influential in terms of the number of employees that they have or the revenues of their companies, very influential CEOs who simply do not want to step, in essence, into the thought leadership spotlight. They want to do their jobs and remain as invisible, if you will, as possible. I think that's wrong. What's your thought?
So I think what somebody really wants to do has to be respected. I think it would be better. I think it would be better for their organization and their reputation if they would avail themselves of their expertise and opinion and ideas. But, you know, if somebody values his or her privacy and doesn't want to join the global conversation, but they do know what they know and they run a great company and they run a good entrepreneurial organization, fine. Then there are other ways that they can market. There are other ways that they can do this. But I would say, Dean, that in today's world, we're now living in the information age. The currency of the realm is information and data and research and analysis. So what becomes really important for us to figure it all out is for somebody to take all of what's out there in a particular realm and put it together so we can all understand it better. And when I see somebody do that, I want to hear them. I want to go with them. I'll give you just a case in point.
Please.
In my neighborhood, there is a health food store, and this health food store has been run by a woman who is a nutritionist and an entrepreneur. She's been there for about 20 years. She's French. She's absolutely wonderful, lovely person, and brilliant. And one day I walked in there with a cold, and she said, "You have a cold here. You don't have to go get some cold remedy. I can give you some stuff that's natural that will help you immediately." So, of course, she gave me probiotics, but a certain kind that's really quite powerful. And she gave me another pill that had echinacea and eleuthera and a bunch of stuff, again, that was a really particularly good one, one that actually has in it what it says it has. And then she gave me something called fire cider, which is apple cider vinegar and honey and a whole bunch of stuff. It's rather difficult going down, but I will tell you, no joke, within 5 minutes, my cold cleared up.
Wow. Either that, Davia, or you were just so drugged out, you just thought it cleared up.
Well, it was something. But
something happened.
It continues to work for me. Now, maybe it's only for me, but this stuff was miraculous and cold gone. So I now know that this woman knows more than I could ever possibly know. And I go in now sometimes and I talk to her and I ask her for her advice because I now trust and value her advice. And really, I'm not going to go anyplace else anymore. What we did with the thought leadership, what she did with her knowledge and her sharing of that knowledge with me, was she created a bond of trust. And so I now really trust her. So I would submit to you that this works whether you're the health food store at the Columbus Naturally,
right,
or whether you are a Fortune 500 company or anywhere in between. The bond of trust happens when you share something that you know that might help somebody else with them.
My take is this, Davia. My take is that on, I'm talking about particularly large boards, but it could be nonprofits, it could be Girl Scouts, it could be United Way, whatever it is, that we are in a transitionary period where there's still a lot of old school board members and some old school CEOs. But my belief is that modern boards and future CEOs, that thought leadership and effective communication will be a job requirement every bit as much as knowing how to run an organization or supervise employees. I think we're headed to that age where a board will not hire in the future, where the decision as to who do we want to lead this company will be made in a way that if the person is not prepped for thought leadership, is not inclined to thought leadership, they will be passed over for somebody who is. I think it's that important.
Well, I do agree with you. But, you know, I also understand that some people, especially in this ultra-transparent world, want privacy. Privacy is awfully hard to get, right? I mean,
it is.
Very hard.
But I want to also be clear, David. Look, you're the expert, and you deal with clients, and you understand who should be allowed to opt out. But thought leadership does not, ipso facto, require a loss of your privacy.
Well, I think you're right. I think people conflate the two things, so maybe they think that. But it doesn't have to. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't have to. Your CEO doesn't have to tweet, right? He or she could figure out many other ways to get their points across. But I think you want to show who you are in this marketplace and what you think, what you do, what you believe, how you can help that visibility creates a bond of goodwill and trust with your customers.
In the day that you and I first met, and you and I have known each other for probably a couple decades, I think you were still a Girl Scout at the time. I was a reporter at the Wall Street Journal, something like that.
But, I'm not sure I was still a Girl Scout.
but many of the reputation tools that are de rigueur today didn't exist. There was no Facebook. In truth, if we're not too embarrassed to say it, there was no internet. I wonder how you have adapted. You were savvy and you were on top of thought leadership and intellectual capital back in the day. How have you had to evolve, and how has what you do with Temin & Company changed because of the digital world and the speed of communication?
Well, you know, it's a wonderful question, and I think that I was actually born for this age but didn't know it.
Ah.
Because when we met, I was working at Columbia University at the business school, and I was head of public affairs for them. And I was translating all of the faculty research into quote-unquote news you could use, things that would actually help executives, entrepreneurs, all kinds of people in the marketplace be better at what they did, thanks to Columbia. So this is so easy to translate to the internet. If you were to look at my office right now, I have a bank. I sit by six 31-inch screens at two levels, a lower level and a higher level.
You've got Netflix, HBO On Demand, Hulu.
Not a one.
I see, okay.
Unless it's like 1 a.m.
I see, okay.
Okay, it's this bank of information. It's like a cockpit of information. And it's almost as if, you know, like traders trade money and trade options and whatever. I trade in information.
That's great.
And I trade in knowledge and expertise and reputation. And it is wonderful to have all of these things coming at you. After all, information these days travels at the speed of nanobytes around the globe. Everything is so fast and furious. You've got to keep up. It's not living 24/7 anymore. It's living 25/8, my expression.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going west. You're always in hypervigilance. I happen to love this. And what I'm really interested in is how you put forth a brand, how you raise visibility, how you raise opinions and perception in these media, both through the things that you control, such as a website and other kinds of things, and the thought leadership you actually put out, to the things you control less well, such as Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and the global conversation, where you are simply a part of that conversation. And so the stuff that I'm trying to learn every day in a new way, because it changes all the time, is how you can put your stake in the ground and be heard and seen and bought and create a business and a reputation in that fluid world of information. It's very exciting. So we've morphed seamlessly to that. And I also hire a lot of young people. Right now I've got two college students who are here, as well as a couple who are a couple of years out of college, as well as people who are older and more seasoned. And we form this seamless group where we work back and forth with one another in older and newer tools of reputation and crisis management.
I think that is a extremely wise way of doing it, because I think the people who are in college and coming out of college in many ways can teach us a great deal about today's world of communication, and yet they need our experience especially working in real-world situations, to help them understand how they can translate their skills practically. Let's do this, Davia. I want to come back and talk to you. I want to take a quick break. I want to come back and talk to you about one of the areas you are good in, many areas, but crisis communication is one of them. And the question I want to ask you when we get back from this break, the first question is, what is the most common mistake that individuals and companies make when a crisis erupts? So let's leave it at that. We will take a quick break. I'm talking with Davia Temin. She is the founder and principal in Temin & Company. I'm Dean Rothbart. This is Monday Morning Radio.
Can you believe that we come this far? We really are on our way to becoming, to believe in the dream dreamed 100 years ago today.
Want to learn how to generate free publicity and social media buzz for your business? Schedule a one-hour phone consultation with Monday Morning Radio co-host and buzz-snatching maestro, Dean Rothbart. 1-303-296-1200. Dean, who has consulted hundreds of successful small business owners, will help you unlock your hidden media and marketing assets. Limited slots still available this month. Phone 303-296-1200 to learn more.
What is Wizard Academy?
I think they teach, like, levitation and mind control stuff.
That's wrong.
That's from Harry Potter, right?
No, it's not.
Wizard Academy is a 21st century communication school, and it's unlike any other.
Communications? Who comes to it?
Wizard Academy teaches executives from companies like Procter & Gamble, Kellogg, Hewlett-Packard, Dell, and Disney.
Big advertisers.
But Wizard Academy isn't just for folks from the Fortune 500. Our students are artists and inventors, ministers and scientists, writers and musicians, regular people who want to do extraordinary things.
Wow, but those don't sound like business people exactly.
Wizard Academy is for outside-the-box thinkers, intact imaginations, anyone who wants to learn the new principles of persuasive communication in modern times.
What could I learn there?
See for yourself at wizardacademy.org. Come to a free half-day orientation. It's on the first Friday of every month. Just click the link on the homepage to find out more.
Wizardacademy.org?
Wizardacademy.org.
We continue now with Dean Rothbart and Monday Morning Radio.
Welcome back to Monday Morning Radio. Our special guest on this week's edition is Davia Temin. Davia is the founder of Temin & Company, a highly respected New York-based reputation and thought leadership agency. One of the things that, Davia, that you have done for years and years to great effect, as I mentioned when I introduced you at the top of the program, is that in a crisis, you are a great person to have on the team, and you have certainly helped lots of individuals and companies when crisis erupts. So what do you see most commonly if you're not there when it happens? You sometimes are called in after the fact. What's the most common mistake that individuals and companies make?
Well, it's interesting, Dean, that you ask it, because it is actually the same mistake both for corporate boards of directors, corporate executives, nonprofits, and individuals. It's all the same mistake. I think it's in our human DNA, and that is denial. When something bad happens, the first thing that organizations and individuals do is say, this can't be happening. And if it's happening, it's not really happening to me. And if it's happening to me, you know, it's really not that bad. And if it's sort of that bad, well, nobody will notice. And if they notice, Well, it won't last so long, and they won't notice for too long. And I know other people who have had this happen to them, and they got through it, etc. There's layer upon layer upon layer of denial. And the problem is, we've already talked about how quick everything goes today. All the time that you're sitting in denial is time that you are not spent solving the problem, solving the crisis, looking into it, finding out the details, figuring out the trigger points where you can actually make it better. So the longer you stay in denial, the more the crisis unfolds, unfurls, gets worse, and the harder it is to circle it, and when you finally do realize this, and to start to improve it, make it better. So I believe that if you can deny denial, you are in much better driver's seat to be able to start to put in the fix. The quicker you put in the fix, the quicker it's over, the more you can get back to your business.
One of the things you state, I may have to just paraphrase it, that Temin & Company does three things. It creates, it enhances, and it saves reputations. Yep. I understand how thought leadership done well can go a long way to create and enhance reputation. Let's right. talk about how thought leadership can help save reputation.
Okay. So, and it's a little bit harder because in the saving of reputation, I will tell you that it's the blocking and tackling of the crisis itself that you have to figure it out. You can't go into denial. You have to deal with all of the constituencies, all your key audiences. You have to communicate with them. You have to be honest. You have to then actually really be authentically make it better, fix it. But what thought leadership can do is remind people of who you are, because we'll get back to trust again, right? In a crisis, you lose trust almost always. How do you recover from it? How do you say, okay, perhaps we screwed up and we apologize. We're sorry for that. We promise not to do it again. And then, by the way, you can't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But let us remind you of who we are and et cetera. So let's take a case in point. Suppose you're one of these big consumer companies whose data has been breached and where customers' credit card information has been published all over, sold, and you've put people in real disadvantage. And let's say maybe you didn't communicate quite, you weren't in denial, or the FBI told you not to talk too soon, and your customers are angry with you. First, you apologize. Secondly, you try to repair the damage, and you offer free credit screening, and you offer other things to them to help make up for that damage. Some people have given rebates, et cetera, or $10 free or whatever. But then you start to come up with a bunch of communications on how credit rating is created, how a data breach could hurt it, what you can do to keep from hurting it, how you continue to build up your credit rating, how the company that you represent can help its consumers build up its credit, etc. So you would start to actually work with your customers to address not just the crisis that you had, but things around that crisis that might affect them. And by the end of the day, your customers are saying, wow, these guys are really on my side. At first during the crisis, I thought it was me against them and I hated them. But now they're showing time after time that they are on my side and they're here to help me. Heck, I'm going to go back and buy more stuff from them. I would.
I agree. That's great. I want to tell our listeners this. If they go to your site, it's Temin and Company. I'm going to spell it, but they can also get it off of our website. Temin is T-E-M-I-N. Then you literally spell out the word and, A-N-D, company.com. So teminandcompany.com. There's some really valuable content on your site, including you have a tab at the top that says thought leadership, where you include some, but certainly not all, of the articles that you yourself have written for places like American Banker, Forbes Magazine, Huffington Post, etc. And I encourage people to look at that. One of the articles that I spotted, it's a little bit more than a year old, was Target's Worst PR Nightmare, 7 Lessons from Target's Well-Meant but Flawed Crisis Response. It is a good illustration of what we were talking about now. One of the questions that my journalistic mind raises, Davia, so I'll ask it to you, is this. If anybody ever asks my opinion, I encourage people to be thought leaders. as I mentioned to you, I don't worry about it particularly. I think there's a way to do it without violating privacy. But I think it does beg this question, and I ask it sincerely because I don't know the answer. And that is, when a crisis erupts, is it better to have already been a thought leader in the sense that you have established your reputation, you in many ways established your integrity and knowledge in advance, or using Target as the example, your lead was Target is living up to its name in a way I'm sure they never meant to. Does being a thought leader, in fact, given you and I both understand the nature of the media, when there is a crisis, does that in fact draw more moths to the fly because you're already a thought leader?
It's a very good question. And I have to say, Dean, I think it's both. So I think that, yes, if you have a higher profile, you're going to be more of a target. And there is a saying in my business, which is when you're in a firestorm, duck.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put your head up too high because it'll get chopped off. Now, all of that said, first of all, I think for living in America, America is wonderful at giving people a second chance and loving a comeback kid. That's sort of the American story. So if you've been a high-profile thought leader and you mess up, I think that we as a country and we as customers and we will give you another chance because that's who we basically are in America. But we won't give you more than one chance. So you can mess up, apologize, come back from it, regain or maybe even get better in your reputation than you were before. But if you do that again, then I think that's it. I don't think we give people more than one chance. So I think that there's that possibility. But the other thing that I think is that we all need role models of resilience. And if a thought leader, if somebody who already has a high profile, something bad happens to them, and then they can become a model of resilience, they can come out even stronger. They can recover even better. It's almost like refiner's fire. You get stronger by going through the fire, the flame. And so I believe America, all of us, need better examples of how you get through hell. There's that Winston Churchill saying, when you're going through hell, comma, keep going.
Good quote. Definitely a good quote. Davey, I got a feeling that people listening are going to be impressed. I think they're going to come visit your website. Tell me a little bit about how you operate as an agency. Do you, as an agency, when you typically take on a client, do you become their agency of record, if you will, their primary agency? Do you tend to specialize and therefore work with individuals and corporations that already have a communications agency of record and you are more of a specialty agency? What role does Temin & Company typically play?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We call ourselves a boutique management consultancy, and that means that we do things according to the needs of our clients. So there is no typical, frankly.
Okay.
We will do whatever you need to have done. We keep the number of organizations, companies we work with at a pretty steady rate of about 15, occasionally be a little bit higher than that. But we will work with you any way you need. So if you need branding, crisis reputation management firm that will be your primary firm, we sure do that. We do that in a lot with a lot of financial services firms, industrial firms. We do that with colleges and universities as well. Then there are times when people need something that is just about crisis or just about reputation or just about recovery. Then we'll do that. And then, you know, we can be in and out. So that would be on an hourly basis and we can do it that way. And then I do have a big practice coaching at the CEO and board level. And those are usually ongoing relationships, but they would have nothing to do with being an agency of record or not. It would be really as a consultant working with the board and the CEO on issues management, issues related things, and sometimes executive leadership issues.
Well, many of our listeners know that I used to be a reporter and columnist with the Wall Street Journal. In that capacity, sometimes when I called the corporations, that was the crisis when I phoned. But I would say this, that if I were the head of corporate communications any place in North America today, especially for a publicly held company, I would have your number in my speed dial because I think you'd be on retainer with me year-round. But you certainly are the kind of person that when it hits the fan, you want somebody to call. And I'll mention that phone number, 212-588-8788. Again, 212-588-8788. So, Davey, in your lifetime, How many Girl Scout cookies do you think you have consumed?
Well, do you know the honest truth? I can't eat them.
You don't
anymore.
Eat them. But do you buy them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And everybody who comes to my office gets them.
Yes.
And I sold more Girl Scout cookies than any girl in Ohio. So, yes, I have a good long relationship with them.
Well, good for you. In terms of now, are you on the board? What have you been doing in terms of with the Girl Scouts of Greater New York?
Well, I've actually been for 9 years on the National Board of Directors of Board of Trustees of the Girl Scouts of the USA, and I was also first vice chair of that, and also a chair of our fund development fundraising committee. We started a $1 billion campaign for girls. So if you were to ask me, Dean, how much is a girl worth in this country, I would say it starts at $1 billion and
goes up from there. And it goes up from there. So, Davey, people listening, again, I basically have said if they're in the New York area, they want to support Girl Scouts, they want to come up and shake your hand and get to know you. The event is going to be on April 29th. Where's the best place for them to go to get more information about the annual gala dinner?
Just Google Girl Scouts of Greater New York,
okay. And
it will come right up there. And I look forward to seeing you at the 29th. It's going to be at Cipriani, which is this gorgeous restaurant hotel space in Midtown Manhattan. Quite beautiful. And it's going to be a heck of a party.
Well, it's going to be a well-deserved honor. Good catching up with you, and best of luck. Thanks for taking some time to share your brilliance with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. It's fun.
My pleasure. That wraps it up for this week's edition of Monday Morning Radio. I hope you don't have any crises between now and next week's edition. If you do, Davey's number is 212-588-8788. Otherwise, until next week, have a great week.
You've been listening to Monday Morning Radio with Dean Rothbart. Be sure to read and subscribe to my weekly email column, The Monday Morning Memo, at mondaymorningmemo.com, where I share my observations on the world at large. Trends, tastes, marketing, advertising, small business, whatever else is on my mind. This is Roy H. Williams.
Good luck. All the best. Till we hear from you again.